is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Earlier this year, Archbishop William E. Laurie announced that the standard age for receiving the sacrament of confirmation will be lowered to 9 in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. The previous age had been set at 14 to 16. On today's show, we're going to look at the reasons behind that decision and also talk with a parish leader who has been involved in implementing the change in a pilot program in Carroll County. Joining us now is Stacy Golden, Director of the Office of Family, Youth, and Young Adult Ministry within the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Institute for Evangelization. Stacy, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a big change for a lot of people in the Archdiocese. Can you tell us how this decision was reached? I know there was a lot of study, more than 2 years of study that went into it.
Yeah, so it'll be 3 years in November that I was hired. And when I came aboard, the conversation was already on the table. So one of the reasons behind that is the age of disaffiliation has dropped. We used to even say that it was around age 13, but the latest studies from Kara and Springtide show that they have dropped to about age 11. So that means that the trends and sacraments, people returning for sacrament between Eucharist and confirmation, also is lowering. So we know that the sacraments work. So we want to make sure that the graces are bestowed upon youth at a younger age. Some of the other reasons would be that confirmation has been seen so often as a sacrament of maturity, where it is not. It's a sacrament of witness. So children need not wait until they're teens to be witnesses to Christ.
How did you arrive at that specific number, the age 9? What is it about that age that makes it an ideal time for the sacrament?
So we, upon research through a focus group, had educators, child psychiatrists, or child psychologists rather, on our board, clergy, and some, you know, lay leaders. And what we found is that is around the age that children are most curious and open to the sacrament. Also, we have such great fruit by involving parents in sacramental preparation. And age 9, children are very open to their parents being a part of that process.
And how does that work? I know that's a big part of this move is involving parents in sacramental preparation. Can you talk about that? How does that work?
Yes. So family faith formation is really a big priority here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We're moving to a model that is family-based and oriented. And when I speak of family, I mean every step of the family, right? Like, so families come in all shapes and sizes, and we need to make sure that we're journeying with people all through their life in a catechumenate model. So to do that, we're placing a focus on children, especially in elementary age, to involve their parents in the catechesis and encounter of the Lord. So this change in the sacrament of confirmation fits nicely into that process.
One of the things that I've heard when this change was announced is that somehow the kids might not be ready intellectually at age 9 to understand the sacrament, which I find kind of ironic because, as you pointed out before, we expect 7-year-olds to have some understanding of transubstantiation when they receive First Communion. But it doesn't seem like a stretch to expect 9-year-olds to understand gifts of the Holy Spirit. Am I off on that, or what are your thoughts?
No, I agree. And I think maybe we've come to that. I had somebody just recently say to me, which is, it's just a great image, is that when we think of God the Father, we can picture a father. Mm-hmm. When we think of God the Son, we can picture him, right? Like, and also we can see that in our pictures that we have depicted. But when we think of the Holy Spirit, how often do we see the Holy Spirit is depicted in wind and fire and dove, right? In the dove that we see and so often in all of our holy art. So I think that because of that, it really settled with me that maybe people believe that children can't understand it just because it's not so literal, right, in our vision. But that is so, in my mind, as you pointed out, we expect them to understand transubstantiation. Do we think they fully understand it? No, but their heart accepts the Lord. So it's the same with a 9-year-old, right? Their heart can accept this change, the Holy Spirit strengthening inside them, completing their baptism.
Now, the Archdiocese isn't alone in lowering the age. There are several other dioceses over the last few years that have gone in that same direction. Is this part of a larger trend?
Yeah, when we started this process, we were looking towards other dioceses to see what they were doing. And we've noticed over the last couple of years a trend of some dioceses starting to lower the age as well. And so it's definitely something that I think we're going to see more broadly in the US at least.
Okay. Could you tell us how this is going to be implemented over the next few years, and how will the bishops be involved in administering the sacrament? You're going to have a lot more confirmations over the next couple of years. How will the bishops be involved?
Yes, so we're implementing it in three waves, and each wave will have 3 years to fully implement confirmation to age nine. So the first wave will begin in this 25-26, which will start in or around September, and then 26-27, 27-28, and they will be phased in. So we have a very developed a process that we hope works. We know that it's going to be at some point a lot of confirmations. The bishops love to celebrate confirmations. We will definitely do our best to make sure that everybody is accommodated. There may be a need at some areas for regional confirmations.
Great. Well, our guest this segment has been Stacey Golden. She is the director of the Office of Family, Youth, and Young Adult Ministry within the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Institute for Evangelization. Stacey, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Ken DeMaul, Director of Formation and Innovation at St. John in Westminster, a parish that has already implemented the lower age for confirmation through a pilot program. I'm George Matisek. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Where can a Master of Theological Studies take you? At Loyola University, Maryland, our program prepares you for careers with nonprofits, religious ed, campus ministry, law, social work, and higher ed. Choose from three specialized tracks or our certificate in theology and ministry. Experience small classes, mentoring, networking opportunities, and more. Apply by August 1st for this fall. Learn more at loyola.edu/theology.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Dr. Gerard Jerry Joyce was formally inaugurated as the 27th president of Mount St. Mary's University in Emmitsburg, April 12th, in a ceremony attended by hundreds of students, faculty, and local officials. Joyce comes to the Mount from DeSales University in Pennsylvania, where he served in various leadership roles for over 3 decades. He took over as president in July of 2024 and is already guiding the university through the development of a new strategic plan. During the ceremony, Joyce acknowledged the challenges facing higher education, but emphasized the Mount's enduring mission of faith and excellence. He received symbols of his new office, including a historic crucifix and the presidential medallion. Local leaders, including Frederick County Executive Jessica Fitzwater and Council President Brad Young, praised Joyce's leadership and the university's continued role in the region. Baltimore Archbishop William E. Lurie also celebrated a special inauguration mass the day before. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. More than 1,000 Catholics gathered at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Baltimore April 14th for the annual Chrism Mass, which held special significance this year during the Jubilee Year of Hope. Archbishop Lurie blessed the sacramental oils that will be used in parishes across the archdiocese throughout the year, oils for anointing the sick, baptisms, confirmations, and ordinations. Youth Minister Gemma Amoki called the experience a slice of heaven, while others said the liturgy helped them feel more connected to the broader church community. The Mass concluded with a special apostolic blessing tied to the Jubilee year. For more on this and other stories, visit CatholicReview.org. And on behalf of everyone at the Catholic Review, we wish you a happy and blessed Easter season. For everyone at the Catholic Review, I'm Kevin Parks.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We're talking today about the Sacrament of Confirmation and Archbishop William E. Laurie's decision to lower the age for confirmation in the Archdiocese of Baltimore to age 9. It had previously been set at age 14 to 16. The change is being implemented in three waves across the Archdiocese beginning in the 2025-26 catechetical year. By the spring of 2028, all parishes will offer confirmation at age 9. In this segment, we welcome Ken DeMaul, Director of Formation and Innovation at St. John in Westminster. St. John was one of five pilot parishes that has already implemented confirmation at age 9. So Ken, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
So you and your parish have already gone through this process, at least the initial phases of it, in doing this test phase of lowering the age. How have things gone in the parish? What's gone well? What have been some of the challenges?
Sure. So when we started, we really just kind of had this desire to do this. We didn't really quite have a roadmap of how to do it. So a team of parishioners and staff and myself, we actually walked through a design thinking process to kind of craft what we wanted our program to be, because we really felt 9-year-old confirmation was a chance to potentially address some of the shortcomings of a traditional sacramental prep method and really try to make formation more engaging, more family focused, and more of a transformation experience than maybe it's been in the past. Our initial efforts were, I think, very successful. We ended up tracking using a peer-reviewed spiritual growth tool to see how much people grew spiritually during their time in formation. And our first year, the results were very promising. We saw growth across the children that were doing it, but also the parents as well. The parents actually saw the most growth through their own self-reporting. And these were parents that I felt like who started at a decent spiritual place. They were already doing stuff at home. And so it was very encouraging and rewarding to us that we were able to help them grow as well. I think the downside was just nobody really quite knew what we were doing first time out of the gate. And so it was a lot of just hoping things would work out. I'd say 90% of our plans worked as we had hoped, but there was definitely some learning curves.
So when you talk about a family-based sacramental prep approach, how does that look in your parish and how is it different from what you did previously?
By and large, I've been doing ministry in the Archdiocese for almost 20 years. And by and large, parents were involved previously by being included on what's going on, more of like sort of logistical support. We might include them in a couple of key ways. Like traditionally, a lot of parishes will ask parents to write letters to their children. But something that I saw as a youth minister was we'd spend a lot of time, effort, and money trying to create these great retreat confirmation experiences for teens. And they really were great. And kids would genuinely have life-changing experiences on these retreats. But a lot of the times the kids would then go home and say, hey, I want to start changing things up. I want to start going to Mass more. I want to start going to confession more. And that always wasn't received well by the parents because they didn't have an experience like their children did. So for them, the idea of a confirmation retreat meant something very different than their teens were. And so this mismatch in experience really led to not a lot of change happening in the family. And that's something we really wanted to try to address. We wanted to recognize that parents maybe have not had the best experience when it comes to the sacraments. I led them myself for years, where you started off your sacramental prep meeting and you handed out a big folder to people with color-coded forms. And you said, okay, here are all the deadlines and here are all the things you got to do. And you can't miss this many classes and you got to turn in this report by this point in time. And if you don't, like, you know, no sacrament. I mean, we wouldn't say it as directly as that, but that was the first experience people had of the church. And I think that expression of what people are thinking then, confirmation kind of becomes this laundry list of things you got to do. So even the possibility that a retreat could be more than just another requirement to cross off your massive to-do list to get to confirmation, I think was foreign to a lot of parents. So we've really tried to turn that around and recognize that parents that are seeking the sacrament, they want something that's good for their children. And so a lot of the times that what we're doing with the parents is we're trying to explain how to make this experience truly something that's meaningful, whether that's through education to the parents, whether that's through doing some hands-on work with them and helping build up their faith, or providing prayer opportunities for the kids and the parents that they can experience the Lord side by side.
You are a former director of youth and young adult ministry for the Diocese of Great Falls Billings in Montana. And I know that they have lowered their age for confirmation to age 7, which is even younger than here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And I'm sure you've heard the complaint probably here and elsewhere that if you lower the age, that somehow you might weaken youth ministry. But I know in previous conversations with you that you don't see that. You don't see that necessarily as happening. Could you talk about that?
Sure. So when I went out to Montana, I really wasn't sold on the idea of a younger confirmation age. I just kind of said, okay, you know, this is how the bishop wants to do it. So I'm going to do my best to support youth ministers in the field. But what amazed me about the Diocese of Great Falls Billings was the majority of their youth ministry workers were volunteers. And part of that's just because of the nature of the diocese itself, but they really didn't have that many paid ministers. But what floored me is these churches that would have pretty small congregation sizes compared to Baltimore. I remember asking the chancellor when I went out there, what do you consider a small church? And he said, 50. And I said, parishioners? And he said, yeah, 50 people in a church on a Sunday morning, right? So very different than here in Baltimore. But what amazed me is how small churches, even big churches out there, had really large collections of youth. Now, some of that is definitely due to, I think, the more rural kind of culture in Montana kind of naturally feeds that. They had some cultural aspects, I think, still going that we've lost here on the East Coast. Like Wednesday night was still largely considered to be church night, where kids would go to their church and do something. But again, what amazed me is the average size of youth ministry programs, I felt like, was around 30 to 50 kids in Montana. They don't have the same population size that we do out here. And they had zero requirements in order to attend youth ministry functions. The kids just genuinely wanted to be there. And a lot of this was being done by volunteers who didn't always have the best resources. They were just trying to do their best, and they were being very successful at doing it.
Preparation, as you know, for the sacrament of confirmation has become very extended in recent decades. What are your thoughts about kind of consolidating that? And also this notion of the sacrament being like a sacrament of initiation into adulthood?
Sure. Yeah. I think one of the things for me is, like I said, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. And anyone I talk to in this field that's doing confirmation, wherever they are in the country, and I'm very blessed to have a large professional network, no one is really comfortable with saying their confirmation process is working. There's always just something that feels off about it. And I think that's really indicative. No matter how creative we are in the methodology, there's just kind of this acknowledgement that it's not really working. I know Pope Francis has famously said he's described confirmation as being an experience of failure when he's speaking to young people. Just acknowledging that, you know, the vast majority of young people who receive this, for a number of reasons, choose then not to engage in the larger mission of the church. And I think this is a very complicated problem for a number of reasons, but I really think lowering the age And trying to streamline the prep process can really help for a couple of reasons. One, I think the church has history on her side here. What a lot of people are not probably aware of is that for 1900 years, the church confirmed people at about the age of children, about 9 years old. I mean, it varied. The times that it drifted upwards and into the teenage years, Rome was adamant and said, absolutely not. I think one of the more striking quotes that I learned in my studies on this was Pope Leo XIII in 1854, when he was asked directly, should we raise the age of confirmation? He called it an absurd practice to do so. I mean, that's pretty strong words coming from a pope, right? And this idea that confirmation is more about becoming an adult in a church, it's developed by accident. One of the most striking examples I found was actually from a homily given by a priest named Faustus of Reese in the 5th century. And he gave this very robust homily on how confirmation makes us spiritually mature. We become more of like an adult in the church, a lot of language that we still use today. And when his homily was filed, it was accidentally misfiled and attributed to a pope in the 4th century. I'm probably going to butcher this name, Pope Malkides. And so people thought this was kind of a new area of theology that could be expanded upon, but it really just kind of happened accidentally. I know for me, there's a church document called the National Directory of Catechesis. And this lists the norms for what someone needs to understand in order to receive a sacrament. And what the USCCB has defined as needed to receive the sacrament of confirmation is 6 bullet points. It's like less than a page in this booklet, right? But like we've made it these giant, robust kind of programs, because I think what we're hoping will happen is that by having somebody go through the prep process and forcing them to do different kinds of experiences, whether it's retreats or going to mass or service projects, that by teaching them to do things that they're going to fall in love with them and they're going to want to keep this habit going. I've kind of referred to this as the theology of the Karate Kid in my own kind of language here. So if you're familiar with the Karate Kid, right? Daniel LaRusso learns how to do karate by doing all of these different tasks, right? Mr. Miyagi, his sensei, has him wax on, wax off, you know, wax the car, sand the floor, whatever. And Daniel doesn't realize that he's learning how to do karate by doing these things. And it's phenomenal Hollywood magic. Like it's a great movie, right? But the problem is that's not actually how you learn karate in real life. Like in order to learn karate, you actually have to study karate and you have to practice karate. And I think we've made kind of the same mistake when it comes to discipleship, is we think we can teach kids how to be disciples by giving them the same sort of experience of like, you don't know you're being a disciple, but we're going to send you on service projects. We're going to send you to retreat. We're going to require you to do 24 weeks of sessions. By the end of that, you're going to know how to be a disciple. The only way to actually teach someone how to be a disciple is to engage them and to then form them into discipleship. And I really think that's what lowering the age is going to allow us to do. I think it's going to allow youth ministers to have an incredible sense of freedom. Every time that I've been a youth minister, I've always had sacramental prep as a part of my job description. And that's limited the amount of time that then I can pour into how can I engage and how can I meet teenagers. You know, here in Westminster, we have a phenomenal non-denominational movement called Young Life. And it's a lot of places in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Young Life excels at engaging young people, getting them to come to events. There are zero requirements for them to do it. Their leaders just have the time and the energy to invest in doing this type of ministry. And that's really what I see our youth ministers being able to do. If they no longer have to worry about doing the sacramental prep end of things, but can just focus on providing amazing, engaging opportunities, connect with teens and their parents, I think that's really going to matter. And what's interesting to me is every year, we're winding down our second year of doing the 9-year-old confirmation prep process here at St. John. Every year, about this time, parents start saying to me, like, what's the next steps? Like, I've got this fully confirmed 9-year-old, like, what are the next steps for them, right? And so being able to have a program that is outside of the sacramental prep process that offers engaging opportunities for kids and teens is so essential. It's going to be even more essential in my mind than it was in the years where we were doing 13, 14, 15-year-old confirmation in the Archdiocese of Baltimore.
Well, our guest this segment has been Ken DeMaul. He is the Director of Formation and Innovation at St. John in Westminster. And we've been talking about the Sacrament of Confirmation. And if you're looking for more information, you can visit catholicreview.org or the Archdiocesan website at archbalt.org/evangelization. So Ken, thanks again so much for being here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
You're probably not getting much church news in your daily newspaper or on your local TV station. The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. There are so many ways to stay in touch with the Catholic Review. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Get fresh news every day online at catholicreview.org. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Catholic Review Media will inspire, teach, inform, and engage you wherever your faith takes you. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.